start timing things, and Craig.
So the first section is about Joyce Hatto. So a little bit of background over the over 100 CDs of music performed by the English pianist Joyce Hatto were produced from 2003 to 2006 with about 20 more CDs in the pipeline after her death in the summer of 2006. She retired from public performance in the 1970s, and these 100 CDs were the industrious product of her seclusion over the past 14 years or so. The reason for this productivity is that she was able to devote all of her time to practicing and recording. Music critics were starting to hail her as an undiscovered gem who had been maligned by the music establishment and forced into seclusion by a fight with cancer. But we're on. How do we switch over to the slides? So Pam?
Yes.
There's a video switch.
All right.
Please speak up.
Okay. So.
I'm going to give you a mic.
So, for example, in 2005, Richard Dyer in the Boston Globe called her his great discovery of 2005. And Jeremy Nichols, writing in the 2006 Gramophone issue, the title is kind of The World's Unrivaled Authority on Classical Music Since 1923. However, by the end of 2007, most, if not all, of her recordings had proven to be fakes. Currently, 81 out of the approximately 100 of her CDs have been identified as completely or partially coming from other commercial releases. Farhan Malik has been keeping an excellent list of identifications on his website, which currently lists 90 different pianists whose performances have been borrowed to create Joyce Hatto's CDs. Is the
microphone?
Yeah. Okay. Testing. So if you're interested in more background information on the Joyce Hatto story, you can go, I would recommend this article by Mark Singer in the September 17th issue of The New Yorker. Is that me? So the real person behind all of this hoax is Joyce Hatto's husband. So she's not the central character. And he has been in and out of the recording industry in England since the 1950s. Over the past 20 years or so, he has run a small recording label called Concert Artist, issuing recordings on cassette tape and mini disc in the 80s and 90s and switching over exclusively to CDs by about 2003. The primary focus of the label was piano music, and listed here are a few of the pianists represented on the Concert Artist label, which includes, of course, Joyce Hatto. So, in the meantime and unrelated, I had been working for the past 2 years with the musicologist Nicholas Cook on the Mazurka project at Royal Holloway, University of London. I am working on developing computational methods for comparing different performances of Chopin mazurkas so that, for example, gradual changes in performance style over the last century of recorded history can be characterized. So we have collected about 3,000 Chopin mazurka performances, and that amounts to about 56 performances per mazurka. And there are 157 performers, over 200 CDs, and over 120 hours of music. So the oldest performance I have is by the Swiss pianist Alfred Grünfeld from 1902. And the most recent I've analyzed are recordings by Italian piano students who posted videos of themselves on YouTube. So what I do is measure the timings and loudness in each recording as illustrated in this slide. So this shows a measure of the music as I view it in an audio editor called Sonic Visualizer that's being developed at Queen Mary University of London. So here's a little snippet of the actual sound. So this example is what you see visually displayed as it would be displayed in Sonic Visualizer. So the top is the waveform, and then I have plugins which I wrote, which that kind of describe visually the audio. So we have onset detection here and a different form of spectrogram.
Let's try it again.
All right. So what I do is I basically extract tempo beat by beat in the performance for every performer. So here we have a list of different performers, and it keeps on going out to the side. And for the performance beat by beat, I measure how the time between beats. So with this beat by beat tempo information, I can numerically analyze how close each performance is to all others for a particular mazurka. The triangular plot on this slide is nicknamed a timescape. And in this case, the plot is for Yaroshinsky, who's a pianist from Russia. Time is represented from left to right. This is the beginning of the piece to the end of the piece. And the height indicates how much music is being analyzed, which I'll show on the next slide, some more detail. Each pixel in the plot compares Yaroshinsky's plot to other performers. This is for Mazurka and B minor opus 30 number 2. And so you can see, for example, there's lots of beret on the high level, and there's a phrase which is similar to Jonas and Uninsky, and a little bit of Smith, Lushtak. And so going briefly into technicalities, I use this equation to measure how similar each performance is to another. The equation gives values closer to one if your two sequences are very similar, and they drop towards zero as the two sequences get dissimilar. So going back to the Yaroshinsky timescape, I marked a white spot there. And this spot represents these two phrases in his tempo curve, which I pull out here just to illustrate. And so notice that the tempo curves, which look similar to Yaroshinsky, get a high correlation value, and ones that visually don't look very similar get a low measurement. So that's the basic underlying numerical computations I'm using. And then I just go through all the list of all the pianists I have, and I say, for this one, it's closest to Uninsky, so therefore color with a little blue dot to that point. And I do that for every segmentation of the music. So what I do is I end up with, So one of my analysis techniques is to generate the sort of picture for every performance for a particular mazurka. And this is 18 different performances or recordings of the same mazurka. So notice in the first two plots, they're basically solid fields of color. And what's happening is they're basically, this plot is saying that it's all of this performer is the closest, and vice versa, this performance, out of all the other performances I look at, this one is always the closest. And this is to be expected because this is two recordings by the same performer, recorded in the same year. And if you look at the audio waveform, it's actually the same recording from the same performance. So they're just issued on two different labels. So one was Magalov's complete piano, Chopin piano repertory CD set, and the others from Great Pianists of the 20th Century set, which has 100 different volumes of about 50 pianists. But the interesting one that all popped up all of a sudden is this pair here. And in this case, it's the same thing's happening. So this one is basically saying this one is closest about all the performances for all time scales and vice versa. But the problem is this is two different people playing the same music. And they're not even listed as the same year or the same record label. Like for Magalov, it was both Philips in both cases, and they were just re-releasing on different CDs the same recording. But in this case, everything's different. And I come across this, and the only thing I can think of is that they have to be the same. And I look at the audio waveforms, and yet you can see in the physical waveforms, it's very close. It's not quite the same because there's time stretching between them, so not quite at the same speed. And what I expect to see if I see the same performer are pictures like this, which have a little bit of noise of other pianists. So this is two different pianists, so it should be even worse than these pictures, but instead you have a plain field of color. So I noticed this probably a few months before the news broke out last February, or a year ago February, on the Joyce Hatto hoax. And so an interesting thing that occurred after the hoax was revealed is everyone starts looking at all their recordings. So I've already told you about the 80 CDs so far that have been identified. An interesting one is a 1993 cassette recording of Joyce Hatto playing Chopin mazurkas. So these cassettes had turned out to be completely the 1988 Injik performances of the mazurkas as well that I initially found with the CD issue. But there are interesting differences. So for Mazurka 7, Opus 7 number 2, Injik doesn't repeat the first 16 bars of this mazurka, whereas Hatto's cassettes repeats those 16 bars. And Hatto 2005, she doesn't repeat them again in the CD release. But what's happening here is that Hatto's husband copied and pasted this duplicate music and played it twice for Hatto, where it only occurs once in the original. And so this is a pretty significant find that was found, I guess it was noticed by Christopher Howe, who got a copy of the CD from Ernst Lumpa, who's featured in the New Yorker article. And so basically it shows that all this hoaxing is going on has occurred not since around 2002 when all these Hatto CDs started coming out, but at least since 1993 when this cassette came out, because it's the exact same pianist he was borrowing from. So now, I go along minding my own business, and I find another pair that have the same feature. So it's behaving like the same recording, just issued on two different CDs. But these are two different people, Fiorentino and Olejniczak. But you quickly look down here to see what the record label is, and it's Concert Artists, which is the same one which produced all the Hatto CDs. So you don't have to take very long to figure out which one is going to be the fake. And so I went through and listened and looked in the audio, and I quickly found five other matches to different mazurkas between these two CDs. So basically six mazurkas were taken from this CD and stuck onto the Fiorentino. So let's see. So one thing that I wanted to mention at this point is it's interesting to note that for 2 weeks after the Hatto hoax was uncovered, her husband insisted that her recordings were legitimate, and he had personally witnessed her performing for these recordings. And it wasn't until 2 weeks after an overwhelming evidence of 20 of the plagiarized CDs were identified that he finally admitted to what had happened. And he justified his actions because he wanted to make his wife happy, and since she felt ignored and unappreciated by the classical music scene. Yet now we have another CD on the Concert Artist label, which we've caught some plagiarism, and it's with Sergio Fiorentino, who has nothing to do with his wife. And so you wonder what William Barrington Coop's explanation will be if you ask him why he copied this particular CD. So once I found the first link between Fiorentino and Olejniczak, the methods that I use are very time-consuming. It takes a very long time to analyze one mazurka. And so I had all these others, 21 other tracks on the Fiorentino CD, which I didn't know, are they legitimate Fiorentino recordings or are they other commercial recordings? So we enlisted the help of Michael Casey at Goldsmith College, who might want to mention that it's not Mike Casey from Indiana University, which I see is attending the conference. And so we enlisted the help of Michael Casey, who's working on the open source audio database system called AudioDB. And I gave him all the recordings, and he returned all these query results. And then, for example, I look down these scores, and so this is Fiorentina matching, what's that track matching to itself, and then there's a high score for the actual real CD, and then all the others kind of get low down. So I basically run through all of this data, and I found three performers on the Fiorentina CD. So there are at least three, and there's still about 15 more tracks, which I still don't know. Is it real Fiorentino, or is it just from other commercial CDs, which I don't have yet? So one of the things, I do have an authentic Sergio Fiorentino recording of a mazurka, which matches one of the unknown ones. So I'm going to be working on seeing, is that the one I know of, which I can't remember which one it is, actually plausibly Fiorentino. But that'll take a while for me to figure out. So now we come to a third case dealing with concert artist label. And so what I do is I've just been talking about tempo alone, but I can also separate tempo into low frequency and high frequency components, which are basically phrasing and accentuation. And I can also look at the dynamics and the mixture of tempo and dynamics together. So I can generate five different pictures using slightly different musical information from the recordings. And this example is for Vladimir Horowitz. And so if you notice, all the backgrounds of these pictures all is basically darkish or medium green. And what those medium green colors represent is Horowitz's 1971 performance. So basically, when I look at these 85 performances, it's saying, these pictures are saying that for the most part, out of the 60 or so recordings I have of Mazurka, I think this is Opus 17, number 4, out of all those performances, the other performance of Horowitz is always the most prominent and closest at almost all time points. So the weakest one would be the phrasing. So what I can do is, let's see. So here's a table showing how well a performer will match to themselves in another performance out of a multitude of others for the same work. So for example, Czerny Stefanska, I have two recordings of Opus 17, number 4 for her, recorded in the same year. And in both cases, all features match best to her other recording and vice versa. And the same works for Freeberg and his two recordings I have of 63.3, and Horowitz's, I was mentioning before, and Uninsky. So the only one which I've noticed not a very good match would be for Futsang's performance of Opus 30, number 2. And in that case, one of these was performed on a traditional grand piano, modern grand piano, and the other, the 2005 recording, was performed on a pianoforte. So maybe that might have had something to do with it. And he also basically was reinterpreting his interpretation of the mazurka rhythm. So I have kind of the tempo curves down here showing the differences between them. So the earlier one is a bit more jagged, beat by beat. So he shortens the first beat very much more than he does in 2005. So the reason why this is all interesting is there's a set of Courtauld mazurka recordings. And guess what? These recordings were released by concert artists in the middle 1980s. And it's pretty unusual because Idil Beret, who was one of the people copied onto the Fiorentino Mazurka CD, actually mentions this set of recordings on her website and basically implies that they're legitimate. She's very happy to discover them in 1990, just before she started to produce her Mazurka recordings. So she was influenced by this suspect set of tapes. We've been emailing her to see if she'd give us any comment on what she thinks now that we know about the Hatto, but haven't heard from her yet. So what I need in order to do my comparisons to actual real performances, at least one real performance of a performer, and then the suspect performance. And then I can kind of make an estimation of, is it the same performer or not? So in this case, in 2005, Sony Classical put out a set of Courtauld masterclass recordings where he's talking and playing while giving lessons to students on stage. And there's no complete mazurka performances, but there's partial performances. And so what I did is I looked at Opus 30, number 2, which kind of had the longest segment. It was about 75% of the mazurka was being played. And in order, so what I have down here is a list of those, the matches for that pair. So you notice here it's always the top choice between Czerny and Freeburg and Horwitz and Janinski, and almost most of the cases for Fu. But in this case, it's always almost near the bottom of the matches. So it's basically these two performances compared to all the other recordings I have, 36 for this particular mazurka. It's always saying that these two performances are furthest from each other when compared to all the other performances I have. So it's so either Courtois is very good at playing very different styles after a few years, or this is not Courtois. And given the history, you can kind of say this is circumstantial evidence that there's no Courtois here. So, let's see. So one thing is maybe William Barrington Coop actually recorded or acquired some of these authentic Courtois performances, but maybe he just inserted a few fakes in between to fill out, to get a complete set. But the problem is, if you ask him, you're probably not going to get the straight answer or the correct answer anyway, because he's been crying wolf a long time. So one popular conspiracy theory that I like is that these questionable Courtois recordings are actually of Joyce Hatto. And so at least no other pianist I've been studying is even close to this unknown Courtois. So it would be very poetic if that was sort of, that was to happen. So I also think that Hatto's husband was planning on never being discovered, at least during his lifetime, because he's 78 now. And so, for example, he, just before being uncovered last year, he made a deal with IPO Recordings to distribute Hatto's CDs in America. And all the concert artist mazurka recordings that we collected, so we had these three CD sets, because we could get, and they all turned out to be either fakes or highly suspicious. And so the good news is I haven't found any other record labels doing this. But in conclusion, if you record producers out there ever start getting ideas from my talk, just make sure you steer clear of trying to copy mazurka recordings, because I'll be watching you. So thank you.